Good morning. Let's continue our study of the third epistle of John, beginning with verse 7. At least verse 7 will be the new material. I want to start reading with verse 5, because 5, 6, and 7 form one rather long sentence, and it's much easier to get into verse 7 if you take the first two verses in context, or make them the context. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Now, these that are reporting back, and John is picking up on this, John has become, over the years, one of the pillars of the church, as it was. He is the elder in 2 John, and here in 3 John, as the book opens, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. He has heard these reports, these testimonies given concerning the graciousness and the charity, the genuine spiritual walk that this man has. And you noticed in verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And everything about this book, or everything in the book that touches on Gaius, is very positive. I think maybe there is something to be said about this, some application we can make. Did you ever notice how a lot of times there are people who do things for us, and we appreciate it, but we don't say anything about it? Or we see them do something that is above and beyond what anybody would expect. Wasn't necessary, but they just did it. And he said, well, that's just the kind of person they are. Yeah, but did you ever think to pat them on the back for it? I think we are in a position where it's awfully easy to be, I don't know, I don't like to use the word hypocritical, but it's almost that way. We appreciate being given encouragement, receiving an attaboy, a pat on the back, and it lifts our spirits, and we feel good about it. At the same time, even though we've experienced somebody else's praise, making, you know, they made an effort to encourage us or to express appreciation, knowing that full well, why is it that we are so reluctant to pass that on to somebody else? I don't think it's necessarily something that's premeditated. I don't think we set out to be insensitive to things like this. But I think sometimes, you know, we need a little nudge in the flanks to kind of look around and consider the fact that often we're in a position, as Christians, of encouraging other Christians, of strengthening them, of giving some encouragement. Maybe things have been going rough for them, and they need a word of encouragement. Or maybe like Gaius, they've been doing something, and they've not been looking for any public acclaim, no praise publicly, but at the same time, you know as well as I do, as much as you enjoy getting a little pat on the back, some encouragement, you know they would too. Now, don't be fake about it, but at the same time, you'll never know how much you do for people by just giving them a smile, just letting them, you know, hey, I'm praying for you, you know, I really appreciate you, brother. I know as a pastor, sometimes it's easy for me to take advantage of the blessing of being around my people and not really saying anything about it. There are times when during the week I've had problems to deal with, or there have been problems in people's lives, there have been battles to face, and sometimes it's just a smile, just a word of, how you doing, pastor? that has made the burden so much easier to bear. Sometimes you just feel like sitting down and crying because you didn't really realize how much you needed that encouragement until somebody gave it to you. But that's not the time to cry. But sometimes it's... Have you not noticed how sometimes we get so busy about everyday things? It doesn't make any difference whether I'm speaking now to pastors or of pastors or men on the job, women in the home. We get so busy with everyday things, there tends to be an accumulation of stress. There tends to be a buildup of things that need to be dealt with that we keep putting off. And then under the pressure of it, we kind of sour. We're not spending the time, the quality time, with the Lord that we ought to. And then somebody says something. Didn't even necessarily know of your need, but they said something that, you know, you just almost have to catch your breath because it's like a breath of fresh air, a glass of cold spring water. It is so refreshing. And as you stop to think about it, you think, well, my goodness, it wasn't really that much. Why did it affect me that way? And then we begin to look, if you're honest, you begin to look and see how you've let yourself get cumbered about with much doing. You've let yourself suffer spiritually, not intentionally, but you just got your mind on other things. That happens all too often, doesn't it, Christian? Well, this is somewhat off the track that John is on, but it seemed like one of those things that maybe ought to be mentioned. If it falls within your power to encourage somebody today, do it. You'd be surprised. You will probably never know, unless you actually talk to a missionary, how often missionaries get so whooped on the field. They're in a foreign culture, a foreign land, and there's opposition, satanic opposition to the message that they're and a card or an email, sometimes a telephone call. But sometimes it's just a little thing, as far as we would be concerned, that makes so much difference in the life of somebody who is really going through a troublesome time. Now, let that be a word to the wise, and you take it from there. Let the Lord show you. Maybe there's somebody you can just drop a postcard to. Maybe just pick out one of those silly little cards. You see these card displays, places like Walmart, Kmart, drugstores, even grocery stores. A lot of times they'll have displays where you can buy a card. Just a little thinking of you kind of card. Doesn't have to be anything mushy or too emotional. Just say, just drop them a line. Say, I've been thinking of you. You've been on my heart. Just want you to know I'm praying for you. Now, whether or not you get a great big thank you later or not is beside the point. You've done what the Lord laid on your heart. There'll be a reward for it somewhere down the road. Well, let's come back. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. And from the context, this is being handed. This is a rosebud, if you will, being handed to Gaius. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren, to strangers, which are borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth. They're doing this as a ministry for the Lord, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now, you and I live in a society where we may not have quite the opportunity to help some of these missionaries, these traveling evangelists. And quite frankly, in today's society, you have to be careful. There are people out there who will skin you if they get the chance, who'll take advantage of you, who'll take every nickel you'll give them and use it in a way that you really would not approve of, but they'll do it anyway. Well, you and I need to be momentarily sensitive, that is, moment by moment, sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, he'll keep you from making a lot of mistakes that a lot of folks do make. But here are people, and this is where, you know, if you rely on the Lord's leading, you'll find yourself in a position to help somebody who really needs it. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily great amounts of money, but the pat on the back. A little something to help them along the way, that kind of thing. He says, we therefore ought to receive such. Who? Well, these that have gone forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. At our church, we have missionaries come through, both who are going on deputation and those who are on furlough. They've got their support raised. They've been on the field for 3, 4, 5, sometimes as many as 6 years, and they come back to the States to report to the congregations who have been supporting them. And I find it a great blessing. Many times they'll show a slide presentation of their work. They'll talk about people that were in the pictures and the slides, and it makes it much more real to you. And you will notice here, he says, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. You see, as we share our goods, as we help these people, both in terms of maybe monthly support, as we pray for them, send them little reminders that we're praying for them, things of that sort, we become as Aaron and Hur back in the Old Testament. You remember when the Amalekites were fighting with the Israelites, and Moses up on the hilltop there, as long as he had the rod of God lifted up, Israel prevailed. But when he let it down, the children of Amalek were prevailing. And Aaron and Moses' brother-in-law brought up a stone for the old gentleman to sit on, and they stood one on either side of him, holding his hands up. They were helping him. He was responsible for holding the rod up, but they were helping him do what God had called him to do. Now, you and I stand in a position where we can help the same way. And that's what he's talking about, being a fellow helper in the truth, or to the truth. Now, let me throw this out, too. I encourage my congregation, folks in it, to pick a missionary. And that's their missionary. Their family does something special for them. Writes to them once in a while. Find out when the birthdays are, when the kids' birthdays are, when the lady's birthday or husband's birthday. And send them a remembrance. Maybe set aside a jar or a box for pocket change. You know, at the end of the day, you put something in there, and then later when you've accumulated enough, you go ahead and send it to them on the field. Let them know that there are individuals, not just churches, but there are individuals in those churches that are praying for them, that are holding them up before the throne of God. Now, thereby, you become a fellow helper to the truth. Well, I am out of time for today. I hope you'll come back and join me tomorrow as we continue and we get to the meat of 3 John. Join me then.